Hello and welcome to this edition of No Big Two Comic Review, the Comic-Con edition.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's exciting. Like every No Big Two Comic Review, it is brought to you by HeroesHideaway.com, H-E-R-O-S, Hideaway.com. They have just loaded up on Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. Have you? If not, go ahead, check them out. They got plenty of Marvel stuff, DC stuff, TV stuff, movie stuff. You collect it, they might got something for you. So check them out, heroeshideaway.com, H-E-R-O-S, hideaway.com. That's singular possessive. Anyway, enough of that. I am Adam Buccafusco, host of No Big Two Comic Review. I am joined with multiple guests today. Yeah. I got animator and comic enthusiast, Jacob Corum.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, this is your third show?
Yeah, because we did the
it's like episode 7, and this is your third
yeah.
show. You're an easy guy to get a hold of.
Yeah, I'm here for you, man.
with me is also Gabe Dunson, the creator of Purgatory Pub. How you doing, Gabe?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. This is your also kind of sort of your third visit, because the Heroes Con episode, you had a little cameo.
If this were Hollywood, I'd be guest starring. I'd be getting my SAG card and my health insurance.
But it's not. And,
no.
We do have a 401k. We have an NB2CR 401k.
K.
That's not accurate at all. And finally, so we are excited. With Sequoia, the proprietor of many a comic books here at Capital Comics. How are you doing, Sequoia?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing well. This is number two for you.
Yes, it is.
I believe...
We've tried multiple times to get something going, and that's my fault. I'm hard to pin down.
You're no Jacob Corum.
I'm no Jacob Corum.
I'm always here.
So, this is the big San Diego Comic-Con edition. Let's go ahead and preface this with none of us were actually in San Diego.
Yeah.
None of us were there. But you know where we were? We were on plugged in. That's right. We were plugged into various websites watching it unfold, much like how you would watch the Super Bowl play out in the comfort of your own home.
It really is like a timing thing, too, because like, you see screenshots and videos go up and then get taken down like that.
Because
they had so many teasers and everything. Did anyone actually see any of the screenshots? I think it's pretty much everywhere now of the Batman and versus Superman.
I came across a pretty good cell phone video of the Batman versus Superman.
Oh, teaser. You saw a video?
Yeah, on Daily Motion, like this morning. I don't know if it's still up, but...
Probably not.
I mean, it's a short clip, but I mean, it was enough to, you know, kind of get me excited. But I will say this year with Comic-Con, I'm very much missing G4 and them covering it. IGN
G4 went under, right?
It became the Esquire Network?
They turned into the Esquire Network or whatever. But, you know, IGN has sort of been filling the gap for that because they've actually had, you know, articles as well as video and interviews and stuff. So
I've been following IGN and IO9. IO9 of course gets a lot of the same stuff from IGN, but the way IGN was covering it, I mean, you would have thought that it really was like a sporting event. They did a really good coverage of it. So that's where I was getting my news from. Anybody else had any other resources?
I just kind of waited for the cream to rise to the top in terms of news, because I go on Reddit a lot, and you could see in the movie section just every now and then something kind of bubbled to the top about, like, oh, a new poster for this or a new announcement of this movie. And I think I'm kind of excited to hear what you guys have to say, because I'm pretty sure I'm missing some stuff from that. I kind of got mostly just, like, the sweetest little news. But...
Well, we can kind of go around and talk about what was, out of all the things you saw, kind of what was your favorite or the most highlighted for you. Obviously, you know, No Big Two has been kind of put aside. We can't talk Comic-Con without talking Marvel DC. otherwise, it'd be a very short conversation. So, Gabe, what did you see? Did you see anything that sparked some interest?
Not exactly interest. I tell you what, why don't you save me for last? Because
he's got something special.
I'm gonna be a Debbie Downer, is what's gonna happen.
Oh, well, let's start on a good note. Jacob, what did you see?
I mean, like, we talked about this before you even started recording. It was kind of, wasn't super exciting. There were some things we knew were coming, and those were confirmed, and I had people describe me those things that were interesting, but otherwise it wasn't, it was a lot of, I mean, the thing I was kind of most interested by is the fact that they've already, like, confirmed they're going to do a Guardians of the Galaxy 2 before it's even, like, it's just premiered. Like, it literally just premiered, but it's doing well enough that they're going to go ahead and do another one. And I'm just, I don't know. It's really interesting to me that how everyone's already decided this movie's a success, and it hasn't even been, it hasn't even come out yet in a lot of places.
Right.
But I guess that's kind of a, I mean, like, I'm looking around, I'm seeing Guardians of the Galaxy everywhere in this comic book shop, and it's definitely, like, people have already decided they're on board. So that's pretty interesting.
That movie premiered, what, this weekend, right?
It's not even out here, but it premiered overseas, this weekend.
August 1st is when it hit.
Yeah, America's Last for some reason lately.
Well,
I don't know why.
They did film it in England, I mean.
Did they? Okay, it's the Hollywood premiere.
They did that, but
yeah, I saw Mark Hamill was there with the beard. I was excited
about
that.
The Jedi beard, Mark Hamill with the Obi-Wan beard.
I did not see that.
You didn't see that?
No, he looks good. He looks pretty
good.
I need to turn in my nerd card because I didn't see that.
I mean, we'll accept it at the door.
Thank you.
You know what? That what was interesting about that, was the title of those articles was Mark Hamill at Guardians of the Galaxy, or in fact, it should have been Mark Luke Skywalker with a beard, because then just gotten so many more clicks.
Guardians of the what? Beard!
Yeah. Well, somebody was telling me that supposedly Hamill, he filming this movie, he is older than Sir Alec Guinness was when he filmed Star Wars A New Hope.
Yeah. So he's older than Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I'm
glad to hear he's looking good, because all the pictures I've ever seen of him after...
He's got a face for
that's
podcasting.
That's why the beard helped, because it covered it.
That's why you went into voice acting. You know what, man? Good choice. I'm with you on that, and you will forever be my hero.
Yeah, he looks hardened. He looks hardened in his little beard, and he looks very wise, and...
Yeah, but nice. To listen to the guy talk, he's a soft and cuddly teddy bear.
Yeah, he is, until he starts talking about the Joker. I'll get you next time, Batman, etc.
Right. So, Sequoia, what was your highlight?
As far as stuff they've announced, I think my personal favorite was Dark Horse announced that they are working with Mattel to do a art of Masters of the Universe.
Oh, really?
Art book, and... you know, I really like that stuff. So it's going to be like, you know, character designs and sketches, artwork from the packaging. I think some of the artwork from the mini comics that came with the toys. And that was something like Mattel had released at Comic-Con, I think back in 2010.
Sure.
It was an exclusive. And I really wanted to get a copy of it. And I think it was like limited to 500. It was like $35 if you actually had been at the show to pick one up. And, you know, I couldn't make it that year, and I tried getting a hold of one on eBay, man, but it was already, like, jacked up to, like, $500 or something like that.
Some con deals, man. I just, actually, a local design group, Creature Box out of Cary, had a really nice book of all their sketches and artwork. They did Ratchet and Clank.
I got that book at Heroes Con.
$20.
I got the scratch and dent sale.
I forgot to grab one, and now it's sold out on their website, and it's like $150 on Amazon.
Go ahead.
My brother Danny is also Dwayne's artwork. I showed it to him, and he's like, "Oh, I want to get one of these," and gave him a good look.
Yeah,
and, he texted me from Baltimore. Said, "What was the title again?" Oh, yeah, it's $200 now.
Yeah,
so. Can I borrow yours sometime?
Make some photocopies.
The thing that pissed me off so bad was just that, you know, it's a con exclusive, and I wasn't sure if they would ever put something out. Maybe they were just testing the waters, but it's like, you know, there are a lot of, like, He-Man, Masters of the Universe fans, and that would be, you know, something I think the general public would like. So I don't know. Maybe they were just seeing if there was a appetite, you know, with the public for it at all. But I'm glad to see that that's something that's actually going to get released.
Yeah, definitely. I saw a good assortment of toys and collectibles coming out.
Yes.
They premiered a Corvette Vader car full.
Yeah, Hot Wheels is doing
Hot
like
Wheels
this series.
Did a miniature version of it. They were con exclusives for $40. I actually talked to a Hot Wheels enthusiast who says, you know, if you're part of the Hot Wheels Club, they'll actually issue you a Vader Corvette after the con is over and stuff like that, and you can buy them. The general audience can buy them. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was impressed by a lot of the toys and statues that they debuted at the con, more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that Final Fantasy Batman.
Oh yeah, from
I saw that. Yeah,
from the Square Enix. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
The concept designer who did Kingdom Hearts and everything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, really yeah, that was really intense looking.
I mean, I don't know if I'll buy it because I'm sure it'll be like $100.
I gotta say this, I do not like the reaction toys. I get the gimmick of it, and it's nice to see toys for things that didn't have toys, and you know, it's nice to see Firefly being represented and whatnot, but it's like, it's not getting my $20 per figure. Not when there's no detail, there's no real artisan artness to it. It's just kind of the reissuing and imagining of 70s, 80s toys, the nostalgia factor of that.
It's kind of filling in the gaps, because I don't think any major toy companies would ever bother with making Firefly mm-hmm. action figures, especially like the
Again,
whole crew.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I got a couple Serenity figures that I was able to score at NC Comic-Con last year.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like, I mean, you know, Nika, and I guess at one time McFarlane, and who else? I mean, you know, they've done like one-off action figures for old like movies. I mean, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there for like, you know, cult fandom and such. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not really enthused about it. I'm not going to buy them. But I mean, you know, it's something else for whoever wants it.
So, yeah.
Well, the toy business is just kind of the polite word is very rough. Just the amount of work it takes, the amount of work it takes to get anything produced is huge. And unless you're getting productions run in the tens of thousands, they're going to cost out the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the only con exclusives I have to talk about that I'm really excited about are from tiny little designer toy companies. And I had one called up on my phone, but I decided against having it up there still. There we go. DKE Toys has got, it's a small little toy company, and they've got a bunch of, like, you remember those little muscle figures?
Oh, yeah.
They and October Toys have their own little series of something similar. October Toys has the OMFG something-something minifigure guys. I can't remember
mm-hmm.
the actual acronym because I'm a douche. But, like, I've got the first series of those. They didn't sit on my desk, and they look really cool. They're for unarticulated, easiest to print thing in the world. They're still kind of up there, like $2-3 a piece. And that's with the manufacturers. That's with, October Toys and DKE, making their margin as slim as possible. I really like con exclusives like theirs, because the exclusive is not here's this one toy and it's only here and it's $400. And if you don't get it, you're effed. And so the most diehard of collectors buy all of them and then turn around and eBay them for more. For them, the con exclusive is just like, these are in purple.
Yeah.
Only mm-hmm. purple will be at San Diego.
Yeah, Funko's really bad about that. I actually really dig Funko as a company, and I enjoy their products, except for the reaction figures. But yeah, they usually do some exclusive cons, pop figures and whatnot, and it's like a metallic Harley Quinn, or it's a metallic Deathstroke, or it's a Rick Grimes from Walking Dead with, you know, removable hand or something like that, and it's just not really that exciting. But you know, it is something that drives up the market in collectibles and whatnot.
I tell you what, there's an exception to the I agree with you. The I don't really care for the nostalgia toys. Don't give me a cool sculpt. Give me something that's hard plastic and either looks good static or that I can pose into something
weird. Give me something that will break if I look at it wrong.
I guess you could go the McFarlane route. The Mego stuff, which I was never into, that stuff was way before my time. I found one exception to where those are completely appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
The Venture Brothers action figures.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Really, that's pretty cool.
Because the whole point of this, like, one of the huge themes of the series is just a send-up of everything from that time period. Like, the Venture twins are younger than we are, but they're being forced to play with their dad's old stuff.
And dress like it was 30 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of, like, probably probably the only action figures they ever had before they broke them, and we don't see them on the show, were little Mego dolls of something. So when the two creators partnered up with, I think, Funko? I'm not sure. They partnered up with some toy company and came out with Mego dolls. And me personally, just my freaking, I do not like them and do not see the appeal. But I'm like, no, that I get that. That's on theme. Yeah. This is funny. However, there was like a lot of people like you and me, Adam, who are like Mego dolls. Those suck. So now they've got.
It's like
got
the only time I'm really like, I'm not a toy guy. I'm listening to you guys talk, and I'm like, I can't relate to any of this. The only thing Adam knows, the only thing I've ever bought was I got the Metal Beard from the Lego Movie,
mm-hmm.
just because I love the idea and the gimmick of it. Kind of like, oh, it's a toy who's a toy, and it's like a toy in the movie, and it's exactly like he was in the movie. I think I would actually get like a Venture doll thing like that, because it's just like. The idea, the concept, the joke of it all. Like, that's the kind of thing I'm into. I like
that. They were the only company at that time they were doing, like, you know, superhero toys. So, you know, I had Amigo Spider-Man and a Batman and Joker and Robin. So
it took Kenner a long time. It took until the 89 Batman movie, yeah. I think, until Kenner started making hard plastic.
You had Superpowers. That line. The ABC cartoon. Like, it was after Super Friends... Kenner did a line of I think that was the name of the line. It was like Superpowers, and you had like, you know, the whole Justice League, Darkseid, Caliban. I mean that was like probably about, I want to say 84, 85 is when you had that, because there was the Secret War line. I forgot who was producing that. But, you know, you had, like, a few Marvel characters like Iron Man, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Captain America. And they came with these little plastic shields that had, like, a little lenticular image. So it would show, like, Captain America if you turned it this way. And then you slightly changed the angle and it was a picture of, like, Steve Rogers. Like, it revealed their secret identity. Nice. Prior to that, yeah, Mego was the only thing in town as far as superhero toys. And then Kenner came along and pretty much changed that. But... you know, Star Wars really changed the game, because, you know, everyone thought when you had to make toys, they had to be these big 12-inch figures with, like, cloth clothing. And they're like, no, you know, just shrink them down and just make it one solid piece of plastic with a minimal amount of articulation. So,
yeah, well, surprisingly, those 5 points are all you need.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of companies where they're like, we can't afford to make more than just those 5 points. Then, you can tell that the sculptor who's in charge of making the pose works a lot harder in making sure that the pose is versatile.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man, you know, that's the character, you know, they really had to kind of change that around because, you can't just like...
doing like a Frankenstein movement right
now. He's got to be able to bend all sorts of ways and stuff. But I digress. We have to get back to Comic-Con.
Oh, no, man. We should do a whole episode where we talk about toys. That would be great.
Not only that, like with the explosion of the board gaming market that's happening in this case. It's been in Europe and Germany, especially, for many years. But it's really, really happening now, especially here in the Triangle area.
Really?
Well, you know, there's a lot of video game companies here in the Triangle. You've got your Red Storm, Epic, Insomniac Games, so on. When those game designers are not working, their hobby is making a board game. So there's like lots and lots of small role-playing games, and what is it? Dice Hate Me Games is in Durham, and there's one or two more that's like in this local area. And Dice Hate Me Games is like 7 or 8 games into their catalog, and they've been around for maybe... they've been on my radar for only a couple years. I think they've only been producing for 5 years, maybe more, maybe less.
So basically, board games are to video games what folk music is to rock and roll.
Exactly.
Speaking of, perfect metaphor.
That's good.
Speaking of role playing kind of games like that, Firefly premiered their MMORPG.
It looked like something.
But they shot it
in their basement, though. Like, it looks so low budget. The trailer I saw looked like did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it, but they premiered the game at Comic-Con.
Did not make me confident.
They had a Firefly panel afterwards, to kind of talk about how the game integrates with the shows and the movies and stuff like that.
I'm with you on this. The instant you said Firefly MMO, I was like, that does not have legs.
Well,
that
from what it doesn't have legs in the sense that you don't play as far as I know, you don't play as a character. You play as like a ship, so it's more like EVE Online.
But but they have characters.
Oh, do they?
And they look terrible. They're reaching too far.
Take some bets.
All right.
How long until this falls on its face?
I don't know.
How long until this just
it
drops
looks
off
like okay, no, but it looks like it'd be one thing if they were going all out and like, look at this awesome trailer we made. I'd be like, no, they're gonna bomb. They can't support their own legs. Right now, I'm not gonna bet on them falling because they're already on the ground just crawling. Like, it doesn't look good. Yeah. And like, the fans are still on board. I think this podcast had better audio than the trailer did. Like, it seriously, like, it sounds like they just didn't hire any, like, it looked like they got their own camera. They shot it and it was just like bad acting, and it was just like, it didn't look professional at all.
I mean, the show got canceled for a reason. I'm just saying. I don't know what the actual number
shots
of
fired.
Fire,
shots yeah. fired.
I don't know how many Firefly fans there are
around you right now. I can think of a couple.
No. I'm with you on this. Just the problem is like there's an excellent point. It got canceled because the idea is just how many fans are there in general. Mm. We know that the ones that there are rabid, but were there enough to support the show?
Exactly.
The reason that everybody's like, is because A, you've got the diehards who will kill you for saying this. And then B, the network really never gave it that much of a chance. They took the show.
I never
off the
heard
air
of it. I was one of the people who didn't even hear the show until Serenity came out.
Exactly.
I think that's how you, Adam, heard about it too.
They changed. It had 9. They filmed 13 episodes. They only aired 9. Mm-hmm. They played episode 2 first instead of episode 1. And then they changed the time slot almost every single episode, trying to find where it fit.
Well, I think network shows are really under. At that time, they didn't understand the fandom. They didn't understand.
They still don't
Joss
understand.
Whedon. They're getting better. You know what surprised me at Comic-Con this year was the trailers for the new DC. DC is blowing up TV. They dropped the new Arrow Season 3 trailer. There's some awesome things happening in the next season. The Flash had a little teaser. The new Constantine had something I was very excited about.
Smoking?
No, but he's playing with the lighter. I'm going to drop this. Go ahead, check out your trailer. It's kind of a spoil. Can
See,
he spoil a trailer?
No,
I don't know.
Just do it.
So he's combing through the bookshelf, and he stumbles upon an artifact. A Dr. Fate helmet. Dr. Fate helmet.
Helm of Naboo.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Constantine, man.
I had this idea for a Zatanna TV show, but like that.
This
like,
could be a Justice League Dark.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like, because like DC and like Marvel and everybody can get separated in different genres. Like every comic book, whatever universe has its own genres, and every genre, every now and then touches, but most of them say that would work. Constantine, now I'm just like, my mind's like, going places where they could go with that, and he said he saw him playing with a lighter.
Yeah, he's
that'd be a good way to like deal with him because like his character is so.
I'm worried he's going to smoke an e-cigarette, and every now and then it's just going to glow blue because the showrunner said they. What I don't understand this, The Walking Dead can kill children and rip bodies apart, and you know, you watch Hannibal, and you can feed somebody like their own ligaments.
It was the whole anti-smoking.
But yeah, I don't know who smoked a cigarette.
How are they so powerful? I don't understand why is anti-smoking so powerful. Like, I don't understand.
It's so popular.
Well,
it's a popular thing, but I guess people are donating them money. Like, I feel like I see more about not smoking than I see about actually like. Hey, cancer's bad, guys. Like, I see that less than I do. I hate smoking.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, but
it's more about the public appeal.
There was a strong push to kind of remove images of from media in general.
So it's kind of like a bandwagon effect, you think? Like, I understand why they're doing it. I think I agree, but it's like, I don't understand how they have such political influence. It's insane.
F that. I do not agree at all.
What?
Children, when you turn 18, you do whatever the heck you want. That's it. This is America.
That's true.
This is America. When you turn 18, you do what you want.
Well,
and if you
see
somebody on TV who is 18 or older doing something for 18 or olders, then say, hey, someday that can be me.
I never would have smoked a cigarette if it wasn't for John Constantine.
Really?
Are you serious?
No. No, of course I'm not serious.
You
I believe everything
you seem sincere. I'm like, how young were you? I guess he came out
So, and then to follow up the big TV trailer announcement.
I gotta ask you. You rattled off all that DC stuff. Have they still not shown anything from Preacher?
No, nothing to Preacher. But they did show another.
What about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I heard nothing about iZombie though. That's supposed to be hitting the CW within the next year or two.
I haven't heard of that. Another zombie show. A little late on the bandwagon, aren't they?
How is there room for more zombie anything anywhere?
It's because it's Walking Dead. I think it's going to keep coming for years.
I think iZombie's more right in the coats of Warm Bodies than, say, Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's sort of a zombie comedy. It's a genre. I mean, the book was really...
Zombie's a genre now. There's so many different kinds of things.
Isn't it kind of like if...
survival in general.
Isn't it kind of like if...
Well, no, it's not like the world's overrun with zombies. I mean, the whole premise behind it was the main character... worked as a coroner, and she was a zombie, but she also, like, I think she solves crimes. It's kind of like, I guess, consumes
Victoria
someone's
Mars,
flesh.
Or what's her name?
Huh?
Victoria Mars.
Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars, the zombie.
The sexy.
Mars was a zombie.
Yeah, she has to fight supernatural crime and church.
I mean, like, okay, when I know, I am tired of the generic zombie. Like that, but I think I don't say, oh, there shouldn't be any, like, we're so sick of zombies, because I feel like it's like same thing as, like, oh, I'm sick of superheroes. It's right. Like, I'm sick of the same superhero story. I'm sick of, like, the same thing happening every single movie. And I hate the same thing happening with every zombie movie, but I do think there's, like, a bunch of different things you can do with both genres that they're just not doing. Like,
I'm so sorry, I'm cutting you
no
off.
You're good. It's just like I feel like it can go either way. It's like you can have good superhero stories, but people just tend to keep on wanting to do the same one over and over again.
I'm officially sick of hearing people say it's a zombie movie or it's a zombie show, but it's not about the zombies. Like, no shit, motherfucker. No shit. It was never about the zombies. When George A. Romero made Night of the Living Dead, it wasn't about the zombies. It was about a handful of people stuck in a house arguing about what was the best way to live. It's always been about people arguing. It's always been about what happens to society.
Now you're making zombies are always. Now I just want a movie where you're just following. I mean, like, I think Cold Blood or whatever.
Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies kind
of. The first 10 minutes of that was about zombies.
Yeah, I know. I want to see. I actually would want to see in a whole hour and a half of just a zombie like no thrills, no plot development, just a zombie going about his day. It's like, oh, he's in the corner now.
Marvel had some announcements, you know, with the movies and you
talking
know,
about the genre
projects.
Stuff. Yeah, I'm just from what I've heard about the Age of Ultron trailer, I'm excited just because while I was excited about the Batman vs Superman trailer, I still feel like DC is like what I was just talking about. They're still telling the same story over and over again. But are you excited? Because
when the Dark image Knight, when the image of Wonder Woman dropped, yes. I mean, we can't have a conversation about Comic-Con without talking about Diana all up in her Xena outfit. I loved it. It was exactly what I was hoping for.
You know what I'm hearing? The general public doesn't like it though. Like all the comic fans are like,
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was like, all the comic fans
matter.
Because they want the. I think it's because they're just now like they're now aware that this is the dark and gritty. Like the one comment I've heard every time was like, "Where are all the colors?" Because her outfit was like pretty colorful, and it's just like. Brown, gray, but like every comic fan is just like, all right, this could be worse. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, it could be a lot. Wonder Woman's one of those characters like Captain America. There's only one right way to do the character and a million wrong ways to do it.
Yeah.
So when that image drops, like everyone else in comics would be like, I can live with this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind turning up the colors a little bit. Like something that the Marvel movies get a lot better. Is that this is a live action cartoon? These are cartoon characters. Let's play up the funny.
Like, and they're able to do that without shying away from the adult themes of it as well.
Now,
which...
and Wonder Woman is not a lot of people who don't read comics really know. Wonder Woman's kind of a dark character. Mm-hmm. Like she's the perfect go between between Batman and Superman. Those two are foils. And Wonder Woman understands Superman a lot better and agrees with him a lot more than Bruce Wayne. However, unlike both of those guys, she's like, no, there's some people who deserve to die.
Yeah.
And I'll do it. I don't care. Uh-huh. I got swords. I'll freaking do it.
I'm really hoping that she kind of plays, because it looks like what they're going to go for is just from like the screenshots and the video we've seen, is they're definitely going for Frank Miller's Dark Knight. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
He's wearing the suit. Yep. He's all ready to fight him and everything like that. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it.
The mask has brooding built into it.
Yeah, like brooding lights.
It's got the eyebrows just kind of sculpted to already be in the mad face.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, but like the trailer showed him in the whole robot suit, armor suit.
Oh, right. I didn't see the trailer.
You didn't see the trailer? No. Yeah, no, dude, they're going for, like, you know, that final fight between him and Superman?
Yeah, on IGN, they were literally texting what was happening. Uh-huh. So, like, one of the female correspondents was reading her phone out, like, relaying what was happening. So that was the closest thing I got to seeing the trailer.
They have, just go look for it, because it's, like,
I'm sure you'll find it.
But, no, it's, so the angle this thing is going for is literally Batman that's going to try and punch Superman, which I always enjoy, because it doesn't always go well with him.
He got my 850 right there.
The only way a movie with Batman and Superman in it is good at all is it's just them fighting.
Yeah.
They have differences.
They have ideas. Yeah, like, well, it's like, it has to be them arguing. It has to be at least them, like, conflicting on some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're both two very different kinds of good. My main complaint is that, and we've talked about this, Adam, is that Man of Steel did not set up Superman.
No.
Man of Steel set up a Superman who, best case scenario, is getting there. We're starting to see the beginnings of it. What are you thinking?
Superman's a
dumb. You're not a Superman.
Superman is not dumb. It's just, he's a boring character. The only time Superman is, I'm one of these guys.
You're fine. That's cool. I have, like, a recorded response ready.
Sequoia over here is about to jump out of the skin, and I want to hear everything you've got to say, sir. Put me in my place.
No.
But Superman is a fundamentally boring character. The only what's about Superman is just he's a good guy. He is the embodiment of everything good, and anything that's a little bit dirty.
It's an exploration of what good is, though.
Yeah, and yeah. I understand that, but the only time that's interesting is when he's standing next to Batman.
Oh, what?
The only time Superman is interesting is when, like, the two Superman books, or the two books with Superman in it that I read and actually liked were Kingdom Come and The Dark Knight. And then that's it. Anything else I've read with Superman, I'm like, this sucks. You suck.
All-Star Superman.
Nah.
Okay, don't talk to me until you've read All-Star Superman. Then. I was not.
Sequoia, put me in my place, sir.
Just say All-Star Superman, because that's all you
need. You gotta read All-Star Superman, because that's probably...
That's converted so many Superman fans that I know. Like, I was converted by All-Star. I wasn't a Superman hater, but, like, that made me love Superman.
No, and I think because it plays up the most important part of Superman is... You know, I mean, it's Grant Morrison at his best. I mean, just emphasizing the weirdness of Superman, just the idea of, like, you know, an alien coming to Earth and having these powers. But then all the weird crap that comes with that, like, you know, the types of people he would fight. Or, you know, not even people, just the weird sci-fi situations that would arise. And I think that's the character's strength is, you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman need to all have their own niche, and I think for a long time Wonder Woman hasn't had hers until most recently with the Brian Azzarello Cliff mm-hmm. Chang run of that book. You know, they separated her from the rest of the DCU, and it's just her, you know, in the middle of this dark, mythological, almost kind of horror-like story. And that should be where she resides. That needs to be her domain. You know, Batman is crime, Superman is sci-fi, but
yeah.
The
problem is most of the only Superman I've ever seen is just him flying over Metropolis and fixing people's problems. And I'm like, this is boring. You suck.
There's been a lot of people. They've been like, okay, so that's, I mean, like, and that's fine. And that's every, you go to a common person on the street and that's every one of their complaints is they go, there's so many other superheroes who have done that same idea, but done it in a much more interesting way.
Now,
and you got to come back to that original. He's the original. And it's also, he's been the one who's been the most developed and challenged and reshaped. And you can also look at Superman and you can see kind of like how, like every current iteration of Superman is how society is currently feeling about authority and power and stuff like that.
And I won't disagree with you. I mean, Superman is a hard character to do, but I mean, when he's done well and he's done right, that is just fantastic stuff.
When he's standing up to Darkseid, be like, this is where he belongs. This is the point.
That's the problem. That's the story. That's the Superman story that focuses on his strength.
Mm-hmm.
Superman works best when you deal with his heart and his emotions.
And I'll probably name
more really good Batman stories than I can Superman stories.
Because Batman's interesting.
Well, no. Batman can be very boring.
Superman's hard to write.
No, see, that's the problem. Like, oh, you.
No, but
you stepped
I love
on my Batman.
I love Batman. I love Batman.
That's
Frank Batman
Miller's
fan.
Fault.
But
at the time, it was what was necessary for that character because everyone had to get over that image of Adam
the
60s, West.
Yeah.
You're right.
And
now we're all like, please
worked.
Come back, Adam West. Really, we want you good.
Yeah, I mean, it's been too much of the grim and gritty. And the thing is, you can't put a mean streak in Superman. That just doesn't work.
True.
They do it. They try it so often.
No,
like, I swear, every other story with Superman is like they're trying to make him scary. And I'm like, you're missing the point.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's like you can't. It's like this Injustice comic that's going on right now, based on that's the whole plot again of Superman kind of like losing it and going crazy. It's like. Yeah, but like you're really missing the point of the character, which is like he is like kind of like the ultimate good, and it's like that's the only reason I like Red Son is because he's still the ultimate good in that story. It's just somebody else's ultimate good, and it really makes you reconsider like what is good.
Well, let's switch over here to Marvel's big announcement with the Vision.
We're gonna have a throwdown on Batman in another.
We're taking this outside.
toys.
Superman. That movie isn't coming out for another two years.
We got plenty of time to play.
I want
to
work on my argument. I mean, like I said, you know,
I've been crafting
a speech about that.
A monologue.
And I bet you that at the end of this speech, you'll be like, yes, that is correct.
I don't disagree.
I think what you said about Superman being hard to write, I think Batman's easy to write, and therefore he has a lot more worse stories.
That's
like, not written well.
There is a best Batman story. There is just, this is exactly who Batman should be, and no one else could do it
better. Batman's he's more versatile. That's all I can really say about that character.
You can drop him in any scenario, it's interesting.
Any scenario, you can tweak his costume all sorts of ways, but Superman has to be who he is.
Right.
You can't alter much about him, and that worked. Right. Batman, you can do them all sorts of ways, and I mean, you know,
there's many good ways, but only one correct way.
Well, you're talking about Marvel. I'll segue this way. Talking about lack of colors in Wonder Woman's costume, I'm so excited to do Vision.
Vision,
the
and
way he's
doing
meant
it
to
in
be.
The colors.
I showed him to my girlfriend. I'm like, this guy is going to be in the new movie. She's like, he looks like a Christmas ornament. I'm like, yeah, he does.
It's going to be the green and the yellow. And
green,
green,
orange,
yellow.
And yellow and cape.
Rastafari. Plain white costume. I don't know.
That one's,
you know,
it's all right.
And I guess part of the reason is because, do y'all remember that Avengers side-scroller arcade game?
Yes! I remember that. Yeah.
And that was the version of the Vision they had in that when he was in the all-white
outfit. That could have worked, but I feel like Marvel is acknowledging the fact that they're like, we're aware this is silly. Like, we're aware
this
is kind of ridiculous.
It'll only be silly if he ends up, like, hooking up with Scarlet Witch.
I think he is.
You think they're gonna go for it?
I think they're gonna hint at it. Depends on how far they go with it.
Will the third Olsen daughter fall for a robot?
I want to see the third Olsen daughter because Godzilla, it was those two again.
Yeah.
And I think they intentionally hired those two because they were in another movie and they had romantic.
Yeah.
Because Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, that's like something.
I'm interested. I'd be interested to see how if they put that in there at all. But do you remember when everybody was speculating that Agent Coulson was going to come back?
I still think when they killed Coulson in the first Avengers movie, that was the plan. And I think the internet and the fans saw where it was going and called it out. And we kind of jinxed it because then they were like, oh, they're on to us. Let's reel it in.
I never liked that idea. I was like, that's not at all what the Vision is. He's not like, it's like, oh, he used to be a man, but now a machine. He's like, no, the Vision is like literally like Ultron, but he's not such a douche. He's Data. He's very much Data. He's just kind of like, oh, this is weird. What's this? Oh, that's cool. And everything like that. And oh my god, though, I've heard people just describing who's the voice of Ultron? James Spader, I want to say.
Yeah.
Dude, they're saying he is just like incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so pumped. Just like, apparently, like the trailer they showed started off with like a party of the Avengers and they're all trying to lift up Thor's hammer. And it's like, nobody can do it, but Cap manages the budget a little bit. And then it's like, and Thor's like, none of you are worthy. But then, like, like an Iron Man suit walks in, like all zombie like, and it's James Spader's voice being like, "None of you are worthy." It's like, "The only thing you're worthy of is extinction," or something like that. Now, see, and I'm the, just like, oh, the, I got chills only, reading it.
The only thing I saw was a teaser where it was much like the Dark Knight Rises teaser, where all they did was put in quotes from previous movies, and you saw Iron Man's helmet kind of shift
that was
and
last
morph
year's. Yeah.
into Ultron.
That was last
year's. Okay, that was last year's. That's, mm-hmm. that's all
this
I was
one,
able to
they
find.
Got actual footage, and...
Man, you really got to pay that $175 to get anything good.
Yeah.
Now what?
That's what they're pushing for. That's
what we did get.
Lockdown.
What we did get, and a lot of things happen a day after they release at Comic Con, was things like the Tusk trailer from Kevin Smith.
I saw that. I don't.
But hey, at least we got a trailer. Right? we got Horns, the new
Daniel Radcliffe.
That movie looks interesting. I mean, it looks
Joe Hill, right?
Still not a comic
I believe
book.
So.
There's no comic books in Comic-Con anymore.
No, well, and that's the thing, you know, like, I mean, let's ask the question, should it even be called Comic-Con anymore? Should
They're
it just be
called
Entertainment-Con?
I mean, what else would you call it? I mean,
Entertainment-Con! Movie-Con!
This is actually the thing I was going to talk about.
Yeah,
are we ready to start
we're,
getting
we're
into
here.
Let's
do
yeah,
it.
All right, before we talk about that, who here's got announcements from comic creators? Like, where's any comic announcement about,
you know what,
here's a new book that's
all that
out.
Happened
before,
2 weeks before Comic-Con. Because
they knew
and I wondered how much did they accidentally let out, or they let out too much
no.
before Comic-Con.
They knew they'd be overshadowed.
None of it's accidental. It's all on purpose, specifically yeah. because you can't announce anything about comics
mm-hmm.
at Comic-Con, because you'll be lost in the shuffle.
Right.
Marvel and DC are they represent at any given time between 60% and 90% of the market share.
Sure.
And they will not announce anything at Comic-Con because they will lose all of their juice.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the announcements yeah. I'm getting from creators. See, I'm paying attention to I'm following my favorite creators on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying attention there, and what I'm hearing is a bunch of people who are staying at home and saying, "Wow, Comic-Con looks like a lot of fun for those people who watch
yeah.
movies."
Yeah.
yeah. Well, I think that's kind of, at first I was like, this sucks. This isn't comics anymore. Thing is, though, Heroes Con has gotten more popular.
Yeah.
And the smaller, it's like, they've fled. It's like, there's been an exodus.
Yeah.
And it's like, now it's not, they've kind of, like, Hollywood's kind of claimed stake on it. And Adam, you said that, you went to, which one, New York Comic Con or something?
To New York last year.
Yeah, and you said that was all television, right?
Yeah, where San Diego is very movie, New York seemed very TV.
Yeah.
Well, but that's how the industry is
yeah.
split up between the two coasts.
Well, it's
yeah.
like I would be sad if like that meant, oh, there's just no more comic book convention. But really what it is they've taken the name and they're now applying it to something else.
There's something more sinister at work here.
What's
up? The industry is in trouble. Like the actual comics industry, it's on the rise right now. Like comic shops are doing better
mm-hmm.
because the movies have brought in more hype. And more than that, like,
right.
There's a lot more licensed materials on the racks. However, I defy any one of you. I mean, we're in the shop right now. Find me an indie comedy, black and white or otherwise, right now. Can you do it?
I couldn't do it from a local comic book shop, but I could find, like, because I think they've just all migrated online.
Well, and there's the trick. They've migrated online, and this is the old song that everybody's been saying for a long time. There's no gatekeepers. You can do whatever you want now. And
mm-hmm.
that means that you can have a lot of crap
yep.
that you've got to sift through to find any kind of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is you have to make a huge investment time-wise before you find anything quality. There should be a shortcut. There's kind of a shortcut. The shortcut is going to a convention. The shortcut is going to a convention and walking up and down Artist Alley. Now, if I'm to understand correctly, San Diego does have a small press zone.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah.
See, that's now, funny.
It's
probably just like a little like they're next to the bathrooms
to
or something
before?
Like that.
I will go.
I
if I
so.
Get on a plane and say, just take me as far as all of my money will go, they will drop me off at Utah. So, no, I've never been to San Diego.
I've been once, and that was back in like 2000, 2001. And even then, I mean, that was sort of
the
beginning of
up.
The ascension
mm-hmm.
yeah.
of Nerd Prom. And I remember then being kind of taken aback because I was used to doing stuff like, you know, Heroes Con and Dragon Con in Atlanta and a couple other conventions and such. And it just hit me that, man, this really isn't a comic book convention. This is a trade show
yeah.
is what this is, because...
And it's a Hollywood trade show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of everybody, I mean, you know, TV networks, movie studios, video game companies, toy manufacturers, But, like, you know, to find the creator, the comic book creators, and even the dealers and stuff, you're off the main convention floor. Like, literally, once the carpet ends,
yeah,
that's where everybody else is.
Like, I feel like, you know, that's what I feel like it is. I feel like they must, like, they have to be cramming people into a corner somewhere. Because I feel like, I'm wondering who's... rooms. Yeah, but I feel like, it's like who's still on the top? Because I know that they're making, like, a ton of money. They've got to be.
They are.
I wonder who is. Whoever's running the convention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like...
not the people who are actually paying to sell there.
Like, but I wonder what's like, what are they thinking? It's like, they're like, oh, I forgot. We're doing comic books. I guess we can make some room for them over here, because it's got to be such an afterthought at this
right.
point.
Well, I think that's also indicative of the industry right now, because the thing is, Marvel and DC both, and I know this is no big two, they're having to kind of like, you know, really gird their loins and say, look, we can't afford to be strictly a comic book publisher anymore. We have to be a damn entertainment conglomerate.
Right. And they are the biggest game in town in terms of comics. Mm-hmm. The industry, and you're exactly right, the industry can't support actual comics anymore. The industry can't support the creators, even at almost any level, sustainably. It can't happen. What's his name? Hickman. Brian Hickman or John Hickman?
John Hickman.
I heard a rumor that most of it, like, he does some writing for Hollywood right now from where he lives. He will do some script treatments or something. Rumor. I don't actually know this for sure. But, like, he went from comic books to that. And that's just the latest one that I've heard. Lots of people go from comics to that. And at this past HeroesCon, I'm talking to a lot of creators who've been doing nothing but comics the whole time. And they're like, I'm having the worst year.
Yeah.
The comic business is in a sorry state in terms of getting them made and getting them read. And what nobody's really thought about is that comics are extremely, extremely expensive to make.
Yeah.
And the expense that people do not consider ever is the time expenditure. The amount of time that it takes to make comics. Like, I was watching a day in the life of, I can't remember his name. He's some A-list artist, and he's doing one of the really good books from Image. Not Chew, not Invincible, but something else. He's in... Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, Frank Quitely.
Thank you so much, Frank Quitely.
Yeah.
I watched this short little documentary series. It's like a day in the life of different artists. Let's see what different artists do. And he wakes up before dawn. He gets on whatever public transportation. He gets to a studio. He works. He stops. He eats. He works. He stops. He eats. He takes a shower at a truck stop. He comes back and he works. And then it's super late. The train's not coming anymore. So let me pull out a sleeping bag, sleep in the studio, up the next morning before the sun is up, go home, shower, get some breakfast, say hi to his wife, and then back in the studio.
Living the dream, right? That sounds like, right?
That's how they pitch it, though. They pitch it like, you get to draw Batman, and it's like, you get to draw Superman, and it's like, I feel like, we're in a bad spot right now.
And on top of that, if this guy, and like he says at the end of the thing, he says, I could get a job working in video games, and then I would actually, you know, have a life. And
they're just, they can be just as bad sometimes. Like, he would get paid, and it'd be, that's the main thing that scares me, is that where there's no money being generated. It's like the characters are basically just like keeping themselves alive, and that's it, nobody else.
But the reason that comics are still coming out is because Marvel and DC, it's important to their brand that they still make comics. And I'm putting, you can't see air quotes, they still make comics. It's called San Diego Comic-Con because the norms know, hey, comics are things that nerds like. Let's go. And so everybody who is in charge of Comic-Con says, wow, there's a lot of freaking norms here. They like movies. They like TV. Some of them kind of like toys. Freaking none of these people like comics. They're just coming to see the nerd parade.
Yeah, it really is.
So let's cater to this
audience. But this is what it's all been building to. Because, I mean, I was talking to someone about this earlier. DC Comics has had corporate ownership like the last 30 years,
Late 70s, since at least 1989.
Marvel has operated as an independent comics publisher up until the last 5 years.
2008, right?
I think
2008, 2009.
Disney bought them.
Yeah.
But the thing that's always been the goal. It's like, you know, to own these characters, these properties, to cash in. Not necessarily because the comics. I mean, it paid back in the 40s and 50s, when
everything else was print and everything else was it wasn't now, expensive,
but now it's all about, it's just about general entertainment and media. And the thing is, that's what this has all been building to, is how can we take Batman and Superman and turn that into a movie and make millions of dollars off of this property, as opposed to making hundreds of thousands off the comic books. I mean, because
You're right. Like, I'm not
saying it's necessarily right, but it's just what it's mutated
if
into.
If I could cheer for you, I would. I'm over here waving pom-poms is what's happening.
And the thing is, but then you look at, like, you know, a lot of people, I'll say, kind of admonished Jim Lee back when he sold Wildstorm to DC Comics.
Really? No, man. Dude's got to get paid.
But that's what I'm saying. Everyone's trying to get paid. No matter, you know, no matter what line of work you're in.
And I do not begrudge anyone that.
I mean, there's a point where, and I hate to say it, and it happens to everybody, where you stop doing it for the love and you start doing it for a paycheck. And it's like, you know.
Because you find out the thing that makes you happy is security. And like, oh, I have food in the fridge and stuff like that.
It's not necessarily
everybody
that.
Everybody sells out at some point. And I mean, I hate to sound so cynical and such, but
if the art form matters to the people that you're making it for, and if there's enough of those people, then it's all gravy. Yeah. The problem with the comics industry is it's not. Back in the 30s and 40s, comic books were a big deal because you can tell huge stories. You can have Superman fly into space and punch out an alien that we've never seen before in our
lives. And no one else could do that.
Nobody else can do that. And now, special effects are so good that we can. So comics as an art form, in our country, matter only in Japan. They matter as like they put out a comic instead of a pilot to a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
In America, comics exist as an anachronism. They're an anachronism.
They are nostalgia based. It's like it's literally like the only reason they're still around is because people like holding it in their hands and they like
When ahead. I tell people that I make comics, they're oh really? Do you make Batman or Spider-Man? Oh neither. I make up my own stories. Wow, people still do that. That's still a thing.
Yeah.
The Debbie Downer moment, like, this was a huge revelation that I had at Heroes Con. It's like, I talked to some professionals whom I've been a fan of for so many years. There's this one guy, he made his bones in 1991. He made a hit comic, he was doing great, and then he made another hit comic just a couple of years ago, and he is right back on the bottom, scraping to get by. And this is a venerable creator. The business cannot sustain. Like, the idea is just, it's not... There's a point where there's a sustainable income. If you can achieve sustainable income while you're still doing the thing that you love, then you can just continue to love for the rest of your life. And there's two creators I know of who are absolutely doing that. It's Scotty Young, Rob Guillory, and I guess Jonathan Lehman, who writes for Chew. When I think of people who are doing it, making their living, and have the love, those three people. But I'm wondering if whenever Chew stops, will Rob Guillory still be able to do that? Scotty Young, when Oz stopped, I was really worried because were they going to have any more work for him? And luckily, because Guardians of the Galaxy is turning into a live-action cartoon, yeah, they've got Scotty Young work. But just the industry is so small. There's not... It seems like the only people who read comics are the people who make them, or the people who did at one point, or the people who still think about doing it.
Well, I think this is all important to say, especially for the general audience and the people who go to Comic-Con to dress up and to see the sights, meet the stars, sit in panels, watch trailers and movies and things like that. Like, let's remember the source material, and let's remember the original creative teams that work on the stories that the general audience is eating up and enjoying and experiencing. That all starts not from Hollywood. That all starts in conversations like this, three, four, two, one person sitting by themselves with a thought and a pen. And I think, as we pay more attention to the other forms of media that these stories are being told, we're kind of sort of forgetting the source material. So I guess, like, to kind of circle this conversation, round it up a little bit, just kind of next time you're at a convention or you're watching a movie or you're watching a cartoon, just remember where it's coming from and, take an afternoon and go visit your local shop. Go pick up an independent book that you, like the cover of, or, you discovered it online and, you gave it a little piece of your mind, because that's where the industry is suffering. The movies and the toys and all that stuff is great, but believe it or not, like, the actual meat and potatoes of these stories aren't getting the attention that they deserve. So without them, you're not going to have your movies and your toys in the future. So, give credit where credit's due. we're pretty much wrapping it up, but you know, thanks you guys for coming on the show. Gabe, you got anything people have to look forward to coming from you?
No.
And Fire and Lights and
nothing
all.
But disappointment.
No, nothing but disappointment and regret.
I know you just started a video series.
I've do little character sketches, and I've got my iPhone set above my desk, and I do time lapse of
right on.
There's quick time lapse set to music and slower time lapse where I talk about the art process. Other than that, Book to a Purgatory Pub is moving exceptionally slowly.
But it's moving.
It's moving.
That's all that matters. Right?
I've got a board game that I'm working on, and it's coming towards the end, and the client is really, really excited to get this to get it finished and packaged up so that they can start to ship the thing.
Right.
And I've been firing on that as hard as I can.
Very cool.
And I can't talk about it or its title right now, but it's.
Oh, you're one of those people?
No, I'm not one of those people. one of those people who signed an NDA. Yeah, I'm one of those.
Those people who's not going to get sued.
Right.
Yeah. So it's area control board games. They're fun. And that's it. That's all I can tell you.
That's all you got. Sequoia, anything going on with the store? Anything you want to, any last thoughts you want to leave the listeners with?
I got nothing.
Well,
I
got
Capital either. Comics Please. 2 on Raleigh. It's in Raleigh, North Raleigh. If you drive past Crabtree Valley Mall off of, what road is this up here?
Holly Ridge Drive.
Yep.
Oh. It's pretty good, yeah. Good.
It's one of the longest running comic shops in the area.
Yes, we are.
That too.
No, I mean, no big events coming up. No, you know, just running the shop, man. You know, just trying to promote this stuff, trying to get folks in here, trying to convert the unwashed masses.
Right on. Right on.
The people
who don't read comics are the unwashed.
It usually goes the other way.
The times have changed.
What's happened to this industry?
And Jacob, you got anything? I know you're working on an animated thing.
Oh, it's not nearly close to being done, but well, it's pretty close, but I'm still taking my time on it. I'm gonna go home and work on it after this, but I'll see you on Monday, Adam, at work.
Yeah, you
bright
will.
And early.
Yeah. And I guess for me and No Big Two, that's going to pretty much wrap it up. If you're in the Asheville area, stop by Zappel Gallery in August, and I have a little spot up there with some prints and some comic stuff, TV stuff, pretty inexpensive, and tell Lauren and all them over at Zappel hello, and that No Big Two Comic Review sent you. I once again like to thank my guests for coming on, and we'll see you guys next time.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.